Way better.
I hate when we start these things over because like I never know how to take it from the top again.
Take it from the top, babe.
Never
Five,
know.
four, three, two, one.
I never know how to run it
Five, four,
back.
three, two, one. And what's that song?
I have no idea. There's no context there for what song that could possibly be.
Ooh, that's gonna bother me now.
Maybe it'll come to you later in the episode.
Well, it's. I'm trying to think of the words, but it's like there's no words. It's like mdada. Like it's like not even like I can't even Google it.
Okay, I know what song you're talking about when you say
Five,
that,
four, three, two, one.
but I don't know the five.
Mdada,
I don't know the five, four, three, two,
mdada,
one part of that song.
mdada.
That's okay.
Oh wait. I literally Googled mdada. And the first thing that came up is turn around, 5 4 3 2 1, song by Flo Rida.
Okay, well, there you go. There you
Google
go.
is so smart.
Google's in your brain.
Google was really just right up in this noggin because how did it know?
I'm dead.
I'm shocked.
You know what would be a fun spin-off of this podcast is
What? Kate and Nicole Google random
I
things.
was gonna say you and I just try and hum songs or do like three lyrics of a song and you and I have to figure out what song we're possibly talking about because this is a common occurrence with us. So we're like, you know exactly what song I'm talking about. It's context clues in which we have to figure out what
It's like
song.
it's when they were like Shazam is gonna come out with a thing where you can just hum and it'll tell you what song it is, and I was like, Shazam will never know what I'm trying to say.
No.
The tune here, there's none.
There
I don't
isn't.
have any.
I don't have any
I
lyrics.
don't have lyrics. I don't have a melody. I don't have perfect pitch. Far
Have
from
a
it.
thought, and that's
I
it.
have one word. We're going off one word and vibes.
And it sounds different in my head too than it
100%.
when I'll try and sing it. So
Yeah. So that would be very interesting. However, I don't think that would be very fun for anyone else listening.
that would be a good fun Grill the Grid video where
There's
it
just
just
videos of us humming. And they're like,
no.
what are these girls? What song are
No.
these girls singing
It wouldn't be us. I was saying that the drivers
of?
would do it with each other. We're not
No, but what
involved
if
in
it was
this.
us?
Okay. We submit a video and we're like, here's us singing 20 different songs. We're humming 20 different songs. We actually don't even know what songs we're singing, so good luck trying to figure them out. That's the whole point. We don't know. You have to figure it out.
The chaos. Speaking of fun driver things and videos,
No, hold on. We gotta introduce this
no, I'm just
podcast.
saying, give me a sec.
Okay.
I'm just saying that they did film The Secret Santa, and I can't wait to watch it because that's
Okay,
my favorite video of the year.
I was wondering. I was like, they didn't do that this year. I'm
No,
bummed.
because there was a video of Joe wearing a Santa hat opening a little dinosaur. And I'm like, who gave him a dino? I have to know. And why did they give him a dinosaur?
Well, I hope they did the Secret Santa because I'm gonna be bummed if they didn't.
I know, I'm gonna be bummed if some random person just gave Joe a dinosaur and we get no context. No context clues.
I'll be livid.
Those are my favorite of the year. So
Me too.
I currently am on pins and needles waiting.
Well, maybe we'll get it around actual Christmas.
You're right, maybe.
They're
All right,
saving
you're
some
right, you're right.
content.
Anyways, welcome everyone listening to TG1F, an F1 podcast with Kate and Nicole. This is the podcast. I'm Kate.
I'm Nicole.
This is our show. We're the hosts. We talk about F1. We talk about other things. We talk about anything we want, and we just talk for about an hour, sometimes more, very not often less.
Was gonna say very,
Very infrequently will this podcast
yeah.
be less than an hour, and we're sorry about that, but
We try,
we
but
do try.
we're just two chatty Cathys.
Two chatty Cathys with some microphones. So
Yeah, you give a mouse a cookie, you give these girls a mic. What are you gonna do about it?
You can't do anything. And so this is our show. And here we go. Let's housekeeping. Jumping all around today. Housekeeping, a couple things right off the bat. Number one, we've got new merch up on the store. We talked about it last week. There was holiday merch. Brand new for this week, we've got stocking stuffers. We've got fun jigsaw puzzles. We've got phone cases. We've got embroidered socks. Perfect gifts for a Secret Santa, a white elephant, put it in the stockings of your loved one instead of coal. Really just great gifts all around. So get in there. Nothing is over $35.
Also, a quick update, quick reminder, we will be doing a Black Friday, Cyber Monday sale. So if you're thinking about buying something, go ahead and save yourself a few bucks and purchase from us on Black Friday. We want to make sure you're able to get your holiday shopping done while being financially responsible. So make sure to shop our sales this season.
Shop
at JCPenney.
Every kiss begins with K. A-T-E, Lizotte.
Put the F in festive with our F1 holiday merch. We should have done a shingle.
We should have.
Also, just a reminder, as we're wrapping up the 2022 season here, like and subscribe our podcast.
Like and subscribe. Leave a review if you would.
We love it. And we are taking a little bit of a break for the rest of the year. This will be the last podcast episode of 2022. So if you subscribe, you will get notified when we come back in January when that episode drops. So just make sure you're in tune with what we've got going on over here. Just like the rest of Formula One, you girls need a little bit of a break as well.
We need to go to sleep for a while. We need to hibernate.
We've got holidays. We've got parties. We've got birthdays the next 5 weeks here. So hoping to enjoy a little R&R.
Mm-hmm.
Come back refreshed start of 2023 with some excellent new content for you guys.
We can't wait. I can't wait to sleep. I can't wait to rest. And I can't wait to come back fresh and revived.
Exactly.
Bright-eyed. Bushy-tailed.
What more could you ask for?
Not much.
But without further ado,
the main event, the main attraction.
And that is Formula One. It's us talking about hot guys driving fast.
And what else could you want?
What else are you here for?
Everything else, hopefully.
They're like, I'm actually not here for you at all. Can you please just get into it.
So this was the last race of the year. It was a boring one, but it was in very exciting circumstances. There was a lot that happened. We literally just recorded our podcast last week on Wednesday. Today is Monday, and it feels like a year has gone by in terms of how many things that we now have to talk about.
Which you and I waited until
I have a bone to pick with the universe in general and the fates.
We waited until the last minute on Wednesday to record our podcast so that we could be timely about the news that
we wanted to break the news, really.
That Nico Hülkenberg was going to replace Mick Schumacher at Haas. And I wake up at midnight in a cold sweat, open Instagram, and see that they've just dropped the news.
Literally probably 4 hours after we stopped recording this podcast. So that was just absolutely rude.
I mean, it's in general. What else is new? There's a common theme of you and I recording our podcast, and then immediately after we're done recording, big news hits.
Every time. And even when we try.
We fail.
Like, we try so hard.
And guys, I understand that news was timely for Abu Dhabi. Okay? I understand that it was in the morning for them. But Gunther should be thinking about me.
He should be thinking
about this podcast, and he should be thinking about making decisions that benefit us.
Especially because we're the ones that are going to have the best sponsor ideas for him. Like,
literally. It's
what
like,
this is no way to treat the people that are going to turn your business around.
My father, the inventor of Toaster Strudel, will not be very happy to hear about this.
Gunther, is never going to financially recover from this.
No, he won't financially recover from this because I think bringing in Nico is a bad idea. Haas did not treat our baby Mick very well this weekend. Mm-mm. And I'm fucking mad about it. The disrespect.
The disrespect. We'll get into it. We'll get into it.
But yes, Abu Dhabi was this weekend. Yeah. The race was boring. I felt every single human emotion that you could possibly feel.
Yeah.
Between Thursday and Sunday.
I mean, I've never cried so much.
Why did I cry so much this weekend?
So much.
It was absurd.
I just kept crying. It was like every single piece of content that came out, I was like, well, I'm crying again. Surprise. No one's surprised.
Oh my God. I just was like, I'm a glass case of human emotion.
Like
I laughed. I cried.
I screamed. Felt all the things.
I was angry. I went through the 5 stages of grief.
Oh, I got to add something to this agenda.
No, I'm excited. You know, the FIA made sure that this race was going to be very straightforward.
Yeah, straightforward. There were not going to
be any issues in Abu Dhabi this year. No one would be able to complain about it. It was incredibly boring, but we did have some wins.
We did have some wins. I'll take this first win.
Yeah, please do.
Is that Charles, my baby Charles, came in P2 in the race and P2 in the championship. He did it. We did not think he was going to for a little bit, but he pulled it out. Ferrari did not fuck him over for one weekend.
I was nervous because their strategy, they decided on a one stop. And that was risky.
I was just like, I can't watch this anymore. I just won't be watching. It was very nerve wracking, but he did it. And it just goes to show that Max really did fuck Checo over last week by not letting him pass, because Charles just kind of ran away with it because he beat Checo last week and then he beat him this week. And
I mean, even this race, he fucked Checo because they could have worked as a team and he could have been more defensive.
But I think that they have just groomed him to not be a team player. Like they've always showed him that he's like their golden child, and so he doesn't.
Well, I don't even know how to work as a team anymore. I don't even think that that's Red Bull's fault. I think that that is his father's fault.
Well, yeah, that too.
Going back to the interview from last week, GQ Athlete of the Year, there was no collaboration.
Yeah, Max wouldn't have even gotten like dinner last week if he had helped Checo out.
No, oh my God. His father would have written him out of the will. Granted, his father probably, he doesn't need to be in the will, but he would have been like, lose my number, bitch. You're helping Checo? Don't even look at me.
Don't even look at me. Yeah, not great, but whatever. I'm happy about it. So thank you, Max.
It's going to be a tough 2023 season at Red Bull.
Yeah.
For Checo.
Do I have to be a Jos Verstappen stan because of the emotional damage he imparted on Max, which then led Max to not be a team player, which then led to Charles getting P2 in the championship?
Whoa, that was a lot of
that was a leap.
You're reaching. I was nervous at where we were going when you started there. That's that meme of the guy with the dominoes, and it's like Charles winning P2, Jos Verstappen fan.
I'm dead. I mean, other things that happened this weekend, it was the last race for Seb, Danny, Nicky Latifi, and Mick Schumacher. So lots of goodbyes, lots of farewells, lots of like end of an eras happening there. But I mean, the one that kind of got all the attention, which rightfully so, was Seb leaving. And I mean, it was very interesting to me because, like, since I started watching, I've seen Alonso retire and then come back.
Yeah.
Kimi retire and now Seb retire. I mean, there's been other people that have left Formula One, but these are the ones that have been, like, on their own terms and have, like, chosen to leave. And I don't remember any of them ever being like this.
No.
Like, you just can see how much of an impact Seb has had on the sport and on literally everyone else, that it was really special and like really emotional. And you can just tell how much people are going to miss him. Like they didn't do almost anything for Kimmy last year, but probably because Kimmy didn't give a fuck.
Right.
But like Seb is someone that will actually talk to people. Yeah. And so it was like just so emotional and like everyone cared and so many people like did these sweet gestures for Seb, like Alonzo doing a Seb helmet, like yeah. modeling after one of Seb's early helmets. Like
who would have thought?
Alonzo? Like right. I was shocked. I was like, this is a typo. And then obviously Mick was just like the sweetest little cherub all weekend, like being so cute. I was like not well at all of the of the things happening from the teams, from the oh my goodness.
Seb's goodbye speech after the race was so emotional. I was crying. Yeah. When he organized that run.
Oh, the run was really cute.
The track run. Oh my
showed
God.
Up. Oh my, his dad.
Oh my God.
Seb's dad found his first race suit and car and helmet and like had it hanging up in the Aston garage as a surprise. The helmet still fit him. That's insanity. He has the smallest little pinhead I've ever seen in my life.
Everything. It was just so sentimental. And I think, you know,
yeah,
Kaylee kind of hit the nail on the head where she was like, it feels like the end of senior year. Like mm-hmm. everyone's kind of going their own ways and saying goodbye. And like, it's so nostalgic for like all of the times. Mm-hmm. It was just really something special to witness. Yeah. I'm glad that Seb has had such an impact and like watching Lando talk about what Seb has meant to him and like what he's taught him on and off the track. And he was just like, I want to be better about like raising my voice about things that matter to me because like Seb taught me how to do that. And I was like, Seb is like everyone's big older brother. And I'm literally just like, I'm weeping.
And him doing a helmet swap with George. And George saying like, yeah, I actually probably shouldn't say this, but I have a Red Bull sweatshirt hanging in my closet at home that I bought at the first race that I ever went to at Silverstone mm-hmm. and Seb won.
Yeah.
And I just like idolized Seb and bought a Red Bull sweater because that's what he – it's a team he was on. That's who he was with. And I just – it was just so sweet. And everyone was just – like so cute about it.
It was so sweet. And I know in the cool down room, I think like Checo and Max were talking and they're like, you know, I think he'll be back. And Charles is just like, I don't think he'll be back. Like, and Seb has said, if I'm still itching to be in F1 2 years from now, then that means that like, I haven't chosen my hobbies well outside of Formula One and I'm not chasing my passions well enough outside of Formula One, and to me that'll be a failure. And I was just like, you know what, I'm happy that Seb feels like so
confident completed.
And he feels yeah. like he's just like really achieved what he needed to achieve and he can just like move on yeah. and go spend time with his kids and his wife. And yeah. you know, I think one of the things we were talking about in the group chat though is because Seb is so private and he's not big on social media, like we're never going to see that man again. No. And I'm sad about it.
Like we don't see Kimmy.
No.
Ever. Kimmy we barely saw Kimmy when he was in F1.
He came out of the woodwork to post a photo of him and Seb together congratulating him.
That was really
him.
Cute.
But like I am sad that Seb's going to be like, I'll just never know what he's up to anymore.
Never. And, like, well, he did get an Instagram. So I'm like wondering if there will now be like, because he is less in the limelight, he'll be able to choose more carefully what he shares.
That's fair.
And maybe now, because I feel like for his whole time in F1, he hasn't been able to choose what's shared about him.
Yeah.
So he's just kind of stayed really private because he's like, you know, stuff about me is going to get out anyways because of the media in the paddock and everything like that. Whereas now that won't be the case. And so hopefully he can start like really purposefully and mindfully sharing things yeah. about his life.
That's true.
Which I hope we do see, because I do think he also stands for so much more than F1, that he had that platform through F1
yeah.
to be able to like raise awareness for causes he cares about. And now that he won't be getting that like international media on him every single weekend at the track, he'll have to like take it into his own hands and do yeah. something else. So I'm hopeful that we'll see more from him than maybe we think we will.
I hope so. I'll miss him.
Other goodbyes that were cute were people saying goodbye to Danny, though that one was interesting because it is such an uncertain goodbye.
Yeah.
Where, like, there was a finality to people saying goodbye to Seth. Yeah. Because they were like, he's retiring. He's chosen to leave. This is it for him. And we know that this is it for him. And so there was, like, that finality to saying goodbye, whereas everyone's just kind of like, we're really not. And I think that goes to show a lot of people are saying, we're going to see Danny again.
Yeah.
And, like, people are so confident about that, that I think that speaks a lot about him. But then can we talk about the note from the Netflix team?
Oh, my God.
Like, the Netflix team is probably the most upset that Danny's
Yeah, they're
leaving.
Suicidal. Like, they're suicidal. He carried that show.
They said he will leave a crater-sized hole in the paddock. Like,
It was.
I cried reading it, and I was like, "What is happening to me?"
It was like absurd, and they were like, he wrote thank you, like handwritten Christmas cards to everyone on, like, staff, and he just always made us laugh and had such was like in such high spirits all of the time, and you know, I think a lot of people can give Danny a lot of shit and say that. You know, they don't necessarily believe he's the same person that he, like, puts out into the universe as he is behind closed doors. And to me, that signals that that's completely false. He is authentically himself 100% of the time. Yeah. And he is just a good guy.
Yeah, 100%.
And
that makes me just so happy.
Oh, my God. He was, like, on the brink of tears, like, talking to everyone in the post-race interviews. And I was just like, what if I was suicidal?
Like,
what if this
and
is
him
my
crying
last
on the radio, oh and just like, God. And his note to the fans,
and Lando's just, like, "You're a legend. Like, thanks for all of the laughs. Like, keep like, I'll see you next year."
It just like, oh,
and then they've just become such good friends in the past couple of months that I'm like devastated to see them go.
I know.
Well, it's been a tumultuous relationship.
It had to be like this. It was like. It's like in Harry Potter, like neither can survive while the other one lives because they couldn't become friends unless Lando knew that Danny wasn't going to be there anymore. And like, yeah, that's when they that's became true. Friends because he knew there was like then no more competition. And I think his like weird complex about like Danny probably being paid more than him and not performing as well was gone. And then he like was able to like be friends with him. So Danny had to leave for us to get that friendship with Lando, and I think that was a little bit worth it.
I know. I'll miss Danny so much. Not that I don't think he's going away. Obviously, we know, well, unofficially, he's going to be Red Bull's reserve driver, so mm-hmm. we'll see him around for sure. But obviously, I'm a Ricardo through and through, and no matter if Danny's on the track or off the track, he's still going to be in the TG1F universe. You will be hearing Obviously. About him. You will be seeing him. Like, I'm sorry. That's part of the programming. He's the one driver that we're not going to stop ever posting about, no matter what.
We're not
going to
be like the WAGS pages that are already like, I'm never posting Sandra again. And I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Sorry.
However, you are excited that they do that because starting January 1st, there will be no more Heidi.
But I don't think Heidi was at this race. So what's going on?
I don't think so either.
Like, why would you not go to his last race? Is she busy?
I mean, unless she had something big, but I don't know.
That's crazy to me.
I know.
His parents were there. His sister was there. Oh my God. The photo of him and his niece. Oh my God. Oh, I was overwhelmed. I was overstimulated with Danny content this weekend.
Yeah.
But obviously, he's got a show in development with Hulu coming out. He's got some new wine ventures happening. He'll be bebopping around. So,
absolutely.
You'll be seeing.
If there's one thing that Danny's going to do, it's bebop around.
He's going to bebop around.
Danny will be bebopping.
I'm a little scared that he may be spending more time in New York now that he has more free time. That makes me nervous personally.
Yeah.
But we shall see. Either way, I certainly have not seen the last of Danny.
And that, take that with you. Manifest that.
Manifesting that. I think there's going to be a lot more Danny Ric in my life in 2023. That's for sure.
Yeah, and honestly, like, if he's a reserve driver, like, he's going to be at the races anyways. Mm-hmm. Like, and he'll have more free time. Like, he'll be able to, like, go around and, like, do fun things. Like, I don't know. I feel like they can now, like, use him for, like, content and stuff.
Yeah, now we can get him on the pod. So let's reach out.
Yeah, we can.
Perfect.
I'll reach out.
Great.
Danny on the pod 2023.
Let's go.
That's it. And then the final thing we have to talk about here is, unfortunately, Haas being mean to Mick this weekend.
Literally,
and I don't want to end on – I don't want to end this section on a bad note, but we're going to have to because Gunther leaves me no choice, and I will be taking back all of my sponsorship ideas.
You're not getting a single idea from us, Gunther.
Mm-mm.
Sorry. Mm-mm. Think of them on your own.
Sorry. You're going to have to find your own in with the son of the Chiquita Banana CEO.
We recently found out we know someone who knows someone.
We
actually,
do.
We know someone who knows the son's CEO, the CEO's son.
And I won't be sharing that information with Gunther.
No. So sorry.
Sorry. Should have treated Mick better. Although, okay, so there was like all these rumors going around that nobody said thank you to Mick at the race. And like we saw that there was video that they kind of yelled at him for doing donuts after his final lap.
And then he goes, that's okay. Love you too. Oh my God, Mick.
It's like so sad. And then like, I mean, there was so much drama in the paddock and like someone asked him like, oh, Seb said that there hasn't been a lot of support from Haas leadership. What do you think about that? And Mick was like, well, I always have a lot of support from Sebastian.
Seb. I know.
And I was like, ooh, shit. But I did see a video of Gunther and Mick in the garage in front of everyone, and Gunther was thanking Mick and like telling him that he is like always part of their team and thanking him for all of his work and saying that like it's been a hard year for Haas, a hard couple years for Haas, but like Mick really helped out everyone and was like the reason that all of those guys were able to keep going and thanked him and stuff. So
yeah.
I think Gunther is just also not as showy as like Christian, who like gets on the radio every single time to say something. I just, like, don't really think that is Gunther, but...
I know, but I feel like we heard almost all radios from, like, everyone else being, like, thanks for a great season.
Yeah.
Like, you know, especially even the McLaren team with Danny, they put up that photo of him on his steering wheel. And, like, I feel like there was just a lot of gratitudes towards the drivers on the radios post-races.
Yeah.
And, like, all we got of the Haas team for Mick was, like, Mick, stop doing donuts. And, like... Yeah. That just makes me sad. So
it makes me really sad.
You know what?
But
Mick's going to find a place.
He's going to grow from this. Like, I feel like he needed a little adversity, you know?
And that's what Danny said, too, in his speech when he was talking to Sky Sports, where he was like, everything happens for a reason. I wanted to step away. Actually, like, this is really good for me. Mentally, I needed that mental health break, figure out what I want to do, where I want to go. And I said this in the group chat, but I was like, that's what everyone who gets fired says. But you gotta have that positive mindset.
Nicole's like, been there, done that.
Been there,
things.
Done that. I've gone through those emotions as well. But it does all work out in the end. And so I do believe that Mick and Danny will find their way back to F1 should they want to in the future. Now, I'm not trying to necessarily feel that way about Nicholas Latifi, but I do feel that way about Mick and Danny.
I agree. I agree with that. So we'll see. Maybe this puts a little fire under Mick's ass and he had to go through a little bit of adversity and he'll come back stronger for it.
And he was thanking his dad on the radio too. Oh, I know.
It was all too much.
The whole weekend. Like we already said, I cried far too much this weekend over a bunch of men I don't know.
Literally. But here's also a thought is that Mick is now out of a drive. Seb is now retiring. Does Seb come in kind of like a mentor/manager for Mick and work his little connections to get Mick a spot and like they can just start working together really, really one-on-one, like a little duo.
Love that. Love that concept.
So that's my brain.
That's a good theory. I like that.
Okay, let's take a little step back from the nitty-gritty of F1 and this weekend and the drivers and talk about the sport itself. Because we did get a big announcement from Formula One at the end of last week.
We did. It was a little bit of a controversial announcement, I think.
Ruffled some feathers. Yeah, and people really wanted to hear our thoughts on it.
Yeah.
And so you know, you ask us once, we'll do it.
We'll do it.
So Formula One announced the start of the Formula Academy, which is an all-female feeder series connected more directly to Formula 3, Formula 2, Formula 1. It's separate than W Series, which mm-hmm. we know had kind of a tricky end to their season this year, but is hopefully going to be back for 2023. And a lot of people are – some people are excited. Some people are very not excited. Personally, I am cautiously optimistic. And
– that's a good way to put it.
I feel excited about the way that this could go.
Yeah.
Because there is a difference between W Series and – Formula Academy. W Series is like, I mean, we have all these different series. We have Formula One, we have IndyCar, we have W Series. Like, W mm-hmm. Series is its own independent series.
Right.
It is not directly connected to Formula One. It is not like paid for by Formula One. It is not associated with them. It was like the idea of that is to give female drivers their own series to compete in. And then, you know, maybe they can make a move into the Formula Series mm-hmm. if they want. Similarly to how they could make a move into IndyCar if they want.
Right.
With the Formula Academy, it is pretty much directly connected and is just another feeder series similar to Formula 3 and Formula 2. So the teams for a Formula Academy, I think there's like 15 teams or something. And yeah. they're the same teams that – like
no,
the same,
there's 15 drivers.
15 drivers.
Five teams? I think five each teams. Team has three drivers.
Something like that, yeah. yeah. And but the teams are the same teams as F2 and F3. So like right. they're owned by the same teams. They're getting – so I think that's good because that gives draws a little more parallels and it's the people that are involved in that. So you're networking with the people that are in the Formula Series. You're getting kind of that same access, that same knowledge from those teams. They've also seemed to address the financial barriers
yeah.
that female drivers have faced in the past, where they will be paying a certain amount of money for their seat. The team or F1 or the series, something like that, will be paying the same amount. So they'll be right. matching exactly what the drivers are paying. And then the teams take care of everything else.
Yeah.
Which is, like, from what they've said, a fraction of the cost in comparable series, even in, like, F3, F2.
Yeah.
So that's great to hear. Another thing that I like about it is that there is a direct line of succession from Formula Academy, and they said their goal is to have a female driver in F3 or F2 in the next 2 to 3 years,
yeah.
which I feel like is a very actionable deadline that they've set. And it seems as though they've made that more possible by, you know, connecting it so closely to the rest of the Formula yeah. series with the cost alleviations and all of that. So I feel hopeful about it.
You know, I think some of the valid criticism of it is, why does this need to be separate? Why do women need to be separate than F2, F3? And I completely understand that. You and I have had this conversation many a time on the podcast about yep. how we do not think that there needs to be a women's only series for race car driving, because why? It's the same machinery. However, it really comes down to access to funds and access to availability of seats, mm-hmm. especially in this sport where money talks and who you know is super, super valuable, right? Like, we think about George Russell making a fucking PowerPoint for mm-hmm. Toto when he was 9 years old, right? Like, he made that connection 10 years ago before he saw any sort of
yeah.
fruition of that dream. And I think just having access to those people, like you said, will be very valuable.
And having 15 designated seats just for females, just to like get them in there.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it starts systemically where you have a kid you have two kids that are 5 years old. One of them's a boy and one of them is a girl. Odds are, just the way our society works, the boy is going to be put into more like physical sports and mm-hmm. might be put into karting. The girl is most likely going to get put into gymnastics or dance. And that's not, I'm not saying that's like right or wrong. I'm just saying statistically that is the most likely scenario based on our culture and society right. today. So the young boy is growing up in and around motorsports. He's starting karting early. He's doing all these things. He's working his way up so that when he reaches a point to be able to, you know, go do this somewhat professionally, he has sponsors, he has a network, he has this, where that just is not the same for young girls,
right.
where a lot of times they're getting into it older, or just not as many are getting into it at such a young age,
right.
that then the opportunities are less for them. Or if they are getting into it at an older age, it's harder for them to find those sponsors, find that network and get in, where so many people have had that those options earlier.
Right.
So I think having this is for the women and the girls who have been in this for a while and need a place to then get that track time, to get that experience, be able to get in there with the others, I think is important. And I'm hoping that we can get down to the first part.
It should
and
filter
address
down,
that
right?
earlier. Yeah. yeah. So then eventually we don't need something like the Formula right. Academy. But I think right now, and a lot of people, this is what bothers me about announcements like this, is people just expect perfection. We saw so many people on the internet saying, this is performative, this is not enough, this is like not good enough from them, they needed to be doing more, this is like whatever. First of all, you can't say that because it has not been put into practice yet. You have right. no idea how this is going to work. Second of all, and this is something that we put in our story, is if you expect perfection, you are always going to be disappointed.
Right.
If you expect progress, that's where a productive conversation can be had and movement can actually be made. Because
yeah.
if you're expecting perfection, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to say, that's not enough. It's performative. And just completely shut it down immediately.
And you're going to write it off already as a failure.
Exactly. As and a then, failure. Whereas yeah. if you expect progress, whereas that's what I see this as. Is it perfect? No. Is it a step
a
in the
start?
Right direction?
Yes.
I think so. And they've addressed some issues. And that it going into it with an open mind allows you to then have those conversations and say, this is a really good start. How can we make it better?
Right.
Where are the areas that we're doing good? And where are the areas that we can continue to make improvements
right.
to make this what we all want? And I think that if you're on the internet, especially if you are a person or a brand or something that is advocating for women in motorsports or more diversity and inclusion, then you have a responsibility to celebrate progress
mm-hmm.
and not shut it down as not good enough
yeah.
right off the bat, because that's not how we're going to get anywhere.
Because also saying, like, okay, let's see how it goes next season and then let's bring criticism.
Exactly.
And then push for it to be better the next season, right? Like we can't
and not just shut it down right away. It's just so frustrating because it's – you can't go 0 to 100 and nothing – also, Formula One as a whole is not perfect.
Right.
So how are we expecting something brand new to be perfect?
From like, an organization that struggles on so many fronts.
Exactly. Like – You're saying, oh, this isn't enough for women. Formula One is not very diverse, babes.
Right.
Like, it's not diverse. They do not do a good job with diversity and inclusion. Like, so to be okay with that and be like, oh, we have steps to take here. But, like, the fact that they're even bringing up anything for women, I feel like is a step in the right direction for such an archaic sport.
Right.
You know,
like if we really want to get down to it, then F1 should be subsidizing karting for mm-hmm. children and mm-hmm. make it practically free for them to get into so that people
anyone,
across,
anywhere, yeah,
any sex, any gender, any income level can get into it, which then broadens the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And then it shouldn't be such an expensive sport because that limits the people who can get into it to only have who only really have privilege. So across the board, it's hard for everyone. And it's
yeah.
even harder for women because we don't, you right. We talk about this all the time. You can't see what you can't be, or you can't be what you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be a good moment for
yeah.
younger girls to see that this is possible. And I think it's just a step in the right direction. And
exactly.
we have a long way to go, but I think humans in general have a long way to go across the board with almost everything. So yeah, let's count our wins when we can get them.
Yeah. And another criticism that I've talked to a couple people about in our DMs is, why did they need to do this? Why couldn't they have applied this to W Series? Or why couldn't they just pay for W Series instead? And I think that that's hard because there was so much wrong with W Series. There was such a huge gap for W Series to go from what W Series was to what we needed it to be, that they would have had to shut the whole thing down anyways and start from scratch. Where sometimes it's, if something is like to the point where like you're not going to be able to necessarily fix it to be what it needs to be, you sometimes need to just completely start over and build something new that addresses all of those. They would have had, like, the thing is, people are like, oh, well, that sucks for W Series teams and that sucks for those drivers. It definitely does. However, if they were going to make it to what Formula Academy is, they wouldn't have been able to have those teams anyways. Caitlin Marie Jenner could not have owned a team because the teams in the Formula Academy are the teams from the Formula Series. Right. So they would have had to get rid of all those teams anyways. So by doing something brand new, W Series can still exist on its own and be the series that it was meant to be, which is just an all-female series.
Right.
And then we have this other thing. And then I think they can compare and contrast what works from each of them and what do we need to do to improve both of them.
Right. We should have several pools to pull information from.
Mm-hmm.
Because competition breeds innovation.
Yeah. So I don't know. Those are our thoughts, I guess, on the Formula Academy. It's not perfect. I don't expect it to be perfect for a long time.
Yeah.
If ever. But I think it's a really good piece of progress from the sport, and I'm excited to see what they do with it, and I'm excited to see it put into action next year, and see how successful it can be, and what kind of they can do to continue improving upon the idea.
I agree. Fully agree.
All right.
Aligned.
All right. Let's move on to
driver updates.
Our favorites, not driver drama. So, silly season has officially wrapped. We can put a bow on silly season. It is over.
Fucking finally.
Nico Hülkenberg is filling out the second seat at Haas, replacing Mick Schumacher, as we've talked about. And Logan Sargeant officially will be driving for Williams. He got enough points, and he will be the second driver alongside Alex Albon, taking the place of Nicholas Latifi. So we finally have a full grid for the 2023 season.
And we have a U.S. driver.
We have a U.S. driver.
I don't know how to feel about this. I mean, obviously, if anyone is a fan of Willie Herman's engine failure, you know Logan Sargeant, mildly problematic. His parents are big Trump donors, big Trump fans, which who knows, he could be different. But allegedly, he's just a very boring person. So I'll be interested to see how they manage social media with him next year. Maybe that's why they've been pushing hard with Lily and Alex to be the front runners, because they know they're not getting jack shit with Logan.
Yeah. They have been trying to include Logan, though, I think, in some things. Like, I think that he has been working with them for a little bit. And so he did their Austin Grand Prix, like, merch video and like promotion. Yeah. So he was in that. So I think they've been slowly trying to niche is. Yeah. I think they're like trying to figure it out right now. Yeah. Like, what's his niche? What can they use him for? I think Lily is their number one American on the Williams team.
100%. She's not even American either, but she's an honorary American. So
she lives in the U.S. So she's their American.
It counts. Yeah. So we'll just have our eyes peeled. Probably in one of our off-season episodes, we'll do a more deep dive on all of the newcomers to the league, to the sport, where we'll talk about Oscar and Logan and Nico. But just something to watch for him.
Yeah,
USA,
for sure.
USA. other updates, we've got The Last Supper.
I've been so excited to talk about this.
To be a fly on the wall.
I mean, when we started seeing every single driver post a group photo of every single one of the 20 drivers on the grid at dinner together in Abu Dhabi, I was crying. I was like so sad. Like, I was so emotional about it because they all got together to celebrate Seb for his last race. And we went through a journey.
Journey.
We went through a journey. I was manic
trying
when these photos were coming out. Yeah,
you were.
Well, because we got all the photos. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, they're out together. And then people are posting a receipt from freaking Salt Bae's restaurant. And I was like, of course, I didn't even think to look into it. I didn't even think to look into
no,
it
because why
of the
would
chokehold
you?
That Salt Bae has on F1 drivers is absolutely insane to me. And so I was like, a fucking course they went to Salt Bae's restaurant. Like, I'm not even surprised. So we're posting that. People are like, who got the virgin mojitos? I'm like, it's probably Lewis because I don't know where I heard it, but I heard that Lewis stopped drinking a little while ago.
That feels right.
So I'm like that Lewis got the virgin mojitos. They're spending like, it was like $2,000 for four virgin mojitos or something like that. Something insane like
that. Yeah, but those are not, not American. That was not in US dollars. So,
but it still looked crazy. So then people are like, no, they didn't go there because all of the stuff. And then people are posting photos and we're going through it. Come to find out they're at Hakkasan. I'm on Hakkasan's Instagram looking at all the photos. Find the room that they were in that was posted on the Hakkasan Instagram. I'm like, confirmed it's Hakkasan, not Salt Bae. It was like, and then I was like, so no one got virgin mojitos. There was not, we don't know.
They could have,
but unconfirmed, I don't think anyone got virgin mojitos. And then people were like, well, how much did they pay at this? Who picked up the check? Is Checo holding the check in this photo? Is Yuki holding the check? Something is in front of another driver. I was going nuts. Then come to find out they're all holding these little envelopes that people thought were the checkbooks. But if you zoomed in on them, someone in our DMs zoomed in and took a photo and they had a little globe on it with Seb's logo in it. So mm-hmm. Seb wrote every single driver on the grid a farewell card, I believe. And I'm emotional about that.
That was emotional. Now, I don't – granted, we don't know if they were cards. They could have been menus with
– could have been,
custom
yeah.
logo, whatever. It doesn't matter. But either way, Seb's logo was on that piece of information that every driver had, and whatever it may be, that made me emotional.
And I would like to read an excerpt from an article on racefans.net. I just am dying at this. First of all, it's so cute. First of all, the title of this article is, quote, in quotes, "We laughed so much," end quote. Hamilton brings F1 field together for Vettel's farewell dinner. And I don't know why, but the thought of Lewis just being like, "We laughed so much," is bringing tears to my eyes because, like, Lewis also just had such a great time.
The
fact that Lewis
planned and organized it and picked up the tab, which
yes.
also, before we read the quote, reminds me of, we skipped over this in, like, the Seb farewell section, but when he was going down the line of drivers, Lewis was the only one he hugged. And that was like super emotional for me because I think like Seb is really Lewis's like only friend on the grid.
Yeah.
And to have him losing Seb is like really emotional
really
for
sad.
Me. And then he did this whole dinner for them. And I'm just like, and even though we know Lewis is not like very friendly with everyone else, like he still got everyone together for this.
And
moment.
The first thing that came to my mind was like, how did Lewis do this? Like, how do you get 20 F1 drivers together? Like, did he send out a doodle poll to see like what night of the week that they were all gonna like witness everyone getting to Abu Dhabi? When can you meet? Did he email all of their press officers that like manage their schedule? Like, what did he do? But
it was probably Angela.
In this article, he said, Lewis said, "I thought it was really important. So that's why I asked in Mexico whether they would be open to all doing a dinner to give Seb a farewell. We haven't had a dinner together since years ago in China." And then it says, "Vettel took the floor at one point to give a speech. It was the best evening," said Hamilton. "We were all laughing so much. Great stories. Seb is a great leader as well. He made a great speech, just trying to hand down some of his experiences that he's had over these years, particularly to the younger guys for their future." And then it goes on to say, while images of the F1 racing class of 2022 seated at a dinner table were inevitably scrutinized by fans for any signs of loyalties or hostilities, Alexander Albon insisted no one had set out to avoid sitting next to a particular rival. Whoever arrives just sits, he said. There's no kind of musical chairs going on. Nikki and I were the first to arrive. We were 5 minutes late and were the first by 20 minutes, so we got to sit next to each other. Everyone seems to be good friends. There's not really any big rivalries apart from a couple, but generally speaking, we all get along really well. I think we see each other more than ever now, just with the amount of races that we're doing, all the traveling we're doing, where we tend to be either sharing planes or whatever. So there's a good spirit with the whole grid. And then Lando was saying it was his first time doing it and he thought it was really cool how, like, when you grow up in the world of motorsport, you kind of grow up to, like, you're kind of told to not like each other.
Yeah.
Because you see them as enemies. And he was like, so for the first time, it's actually quite a different feeling sitting there actually talking to everyone completely away from the racetrack and away from racing. It's nice. I spoke to some people I've almost never spoken to before. It just, like, was so cute. Danny said he was out until like 8 a.m.
Yeah.
Okay. This one was also really cute. Fernando Alonso was talking about it and he's gone to like a bunch of these dinners and he was saying he went to one with Michael Schumacher, Mika Häkkinen, and David Coulthard. And he goes, it was Jos Verstappen there when I started out and now it's Max. he goes, it's just different. It was more respect for the older generation before. It was less of this younger generation or social media or whatever. But he said, now it's a bit more friendly in a different way. I don't say fake, but all the young, all friendly. Before it was different, but I like it more now. I think it's more fun. Everyone is taking pictures. That's the only thing you need to be careful of because you cannot have a bad moment because it will be all over the world. Someone will be filming. But apart from that, I think it was good fun, which I just think is really cute that Alonso was like, I like it more now. Like, it's more fun. Like, I kind of like that he enjoys having the younger drivers around because sometimes he really doesn't.
I mean, I think, like, I was thinking about this earlier and even before this dinner situation happened where, you know, we've seen such a shift in how the drivers engage with one another. Like, it is so much more camaraderie. And I don't know if it's this era of social media. I don't know if it's just like the drivers are younger and younger.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe it's the fact that, you know, all of the cars are not very competitive. And so you kind of just like know where you're going to fall. So you don't necessarily have to be like uber competitive because you know you're not going to be at the top all the time. But it just seems like, and it also could be because they grew up karting together and they have been friends basically their entire lives. Just comparatively to like the older generations of F1 drivers, it just like seems like it'll be hard to have this picture of like really heavy rivalries in this era of Formula One because they're all just engaging with one another on the internet and like joking around in the paddock and like having a good time. And I love it.
I know. And Lewis said, he was saying, afterwards we were like, let's do it all the time. Maybe we'll make this an annual thing here, or maybe we'll have another one in the year. Like, Lewis is, I feel like, so proud of pulling this together, and he probably just had so much fun and like wants to do it again. I just think it's so cute.
It's so funny because, you know, you say that every time you hang out with your friends you haven't seen in a while. Like, we should do this every month. Like, we should do this all the time. And then you never see them again and you're like,
I know. It's so cute though. I just feel like he probably had such a great time because, like we said, he doesn't have any like super close friends on the grid. So I feel like he was probably like, hey guys, like, I don't know. I just like am so emotional about it.
Yeah, it was quite the moment.
I'm just saying, we laughed so much. I can't.
It'll go down in infamy for sure.
But do we want to talk about the seating arrangement? Because I guess it wasn't really a seating arrangement, but it was like, it was just fun because obviously Yuki was like, I have to sit next to Pierre.
Obviously. He would have sat on Pierre's lap if he could have. He's like, I need every moment.
I know. Everyone in our DMs being like, where would you have sat? On Charles's lap. Like, what are you asking me? Like, you know where I would have sat. Like, this is like a dumb question. Don't ask a question you know the answer to.
Obviously. I would have sat where Pierre was sitting at the head of the table so that I could have eyes on everyone at all times.
Yes.
I want to be able to see everything that's going on.
It just looked like so fun. I wish I was there.
I know. Same. I need like a fanfic about this moment. Like I need.
Okay, I'm on it.
I need something like that.
Literally so fun. But speaking of that.
Speaking of fanfics.
Speaking of the dinner and like Pierre and Yuki sitting next to each other, just like another RIP to Pookie.
I know. In their season finale of their podcast, which I need to start listening to. I don't know why I haven't been listening to that.
I know. Me too.
We have our
own podcast to worry
about. I know. But Yuki was like, you didn't say bye to me when we left Mexico. And Pierre was like, yes, I did. And he's like, you didn't text me. You didn't tell me you were leaving. And Pierre goes, don't do jealousy counseling right here, right now. Okay, please. And it was so funny. I'm just like so obsessed with them. And
I'm so upset.
I don't know. Like, you know, we're not going to get good content from Pierre and Esteban beef. And I don't know enough about Nick DeVries yet to know how he's going to interact with Yuki.
I know.
So I'm mourning the loss of OTPs in F1.
I'm so upset about it. Like, I don't even know what to say. Like, I'm so upset. Like, I feel more sad about this coming to an end than I did about Carlando.
I know.
Like, Pierre and Yuki's is just so pure. Because Yuki is just the most pure little soul. And also, did you see that Pierre finally invited Yuki to his house?
Yes.
He, like, finally invited him over. And I cried at that. Because I'm emotionally unstable, obviously. But also,
what else,
like,
is new?
Yuki's been trying to go to Pierre's house for years. And Pierre finally invited him. I'm just, like, so, I'm, like, just so emotional about it. I can't. I'm so upset. And
this season of F1 gave us a lot of strong male friendships.
Yeah.
And that is good for the sport. Because I saw a tweet that was like, girls are making F1 super gay. And I'm like,
good.
That's an oxymoron. Because you should like women if you're not gay. Two, I was like, have you seen how these men interact with one another? It is homoerotic. So I don't think we're making F1 more gay. I think F1 drivers are going to do what they're going to do, okay? I don't know if you've seen the moment of Max and Lando chatting about what they're going to do in Monaco together. He was like, oh, I'll just see him in Monaco and we'll just have our moments. Or what did he say? It was so cryptic about, he was like, yeah, we'll just have like, we've been like rubbing, like we've been, well, I don't even know what he said, but it was very strange. And Lando was like, what? So the boys are making F1 gay. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
Not the girls.
Yeah.
Not the girls. We're here to just consume the content.
The last thing I really want to touch on for some driver drama is the Instagram post that went up today.
Oh, my God. And we never said we were going to talk about him on this podcast again, but this needs to be discussed.
This has to be discussed. Nikita Mazepin decided to throw his hat into the ring of conversation.
And no one asked him to.
Not one person. He posted a photo of himself at the race. I'm going to read word for word this caption.
Please do.
Because it is so unbelievable to me.
It's unnecessary.
Nobody asked for this. And nobody that he addresses in this has said anything to him because no one fucking cares about him. So it's like comic.
Dramatic musical. Reading.
This
please.
Is like, yeah, this is comedy. This is straight comedy. This is dark comedy. At this weekend's F1 race in Abu Dhabi, nice to be here as a guest and see old friends. Got me thinking about some words of wisdom I can share with Seb, Daniel, Nikki, and Mick as they get ready to move on. So, here's what awaits you in the 5 stages of departing the stable. Stage 1, denial. You will find yourself driving circles around your apartment building. Don't make the mistake I made. turn on your stopwatch. It's entirely possible that another F1 team will be interested in your results and you won't have to endure the next four stages.
What does that even mean? What does that even mean?
Unclear. Stage two, anger. You blame everyone but yourself for having to leave F1, particularly the Drive to Survive film crew. You watch the races obsessively and yell at the screen. Stage three,
Danny's bargaining. Not feeling that way.
No. Stage three, bargaining. You hold a press conference where you put on a brave face and thank the team principal who fired you in hopes that your cheerful smile and natural charm will get you a seat with a new team.
Who has ever said those words about Nikita Mazepin?
This is...
delusions. You and I are delusional, but that is...
not this delusional. Stage four, depression. Drink, party on yacht, sleep it off, gain 5 kilos, repeat on endless loop. This will not be an easy stage to get through, but your friends will enjoy it. Stage five, acceptance. Congratulations. You've reached the final Grand Prix of being shown the exit. You stop obsessing about F1 and start thinking about your next steps while keeping yourself in shape and keeping the door open for a return. At Sebastian Vettel, total respect for your climate initiatives. I'm sure they will be of great use to not only the racing community. At Daniel Ricciardo, I know you will always keep your sense of humor. I predict great things for you in stage four, where you can drink all kinds of things out of your shoes. Be creative. Nicholas, thanks to you.
Well, also keep in mind, he didn't tag Nikki.
No.
He tagged everyone else. He did not tag Nikki Latifi.
Which means someone said, I hope this means that Nikki blocked him, which would be the best, most interesting thing Nikki has ever done. And that's a fact.
Yeah, but you can still tag people even if they blocked you, I think.
Nicholas, thanks to you, the team and fans can look optimistically into the future. No doubt you will surprise us. Unsure what that means. At Mick Schumacher, we grew up in this sport together, and I wish you luck going forward. I'm sure we will get a lot of likes from Pierre Gasly. Peace and love to all. What does any of that fucking mean?
What this does it mean?
An ill individual writing this. None of this makes any sense. Why are we bringing up liked by Pierre Gasly in your goodbye to Mick Schumacher? Why do you think you have any words of wisdom to give any of these literally people, much less Sebastian Vettel? Like, what are you talking about? What is this? I've never been so confused about a single social media post in my life, and that is saying something.
You know what? Good for him. He got good PR out of it because we've been talking about it and we haven't spoken about him since March. So he did he needed to do, I guess.
Like, nobody responded to it. None of the drivers that he tagged, that he was speaking to, none of the current F1 drivers, nobody liked it.
Does anyone even still follow him? Like, what is...
I have no idea. I don't know. And I don't even really care to go looking. But it just is so bizarre to me. That was the weirdest social media post I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, Pierre follows him. Antonio follows him. Charles.
Pierre doesn't know.
Charles follows him.
Okay.
Danny DK, George Russell, and Esteban. At least I think. We still haven't figured out what the mutual tab means. I don't know if it means that I follow them or...
We still have no idea what the mutuals means.
Unsure about that. So your guess is as good as mine at this point.
We could be just spreading lies about who follows him. But
either way, it was unhinged. Insane.
Yes, the most unhinged. And with that...
Let's move on.
We gotta move on. Off of the drivers into the girls' room.
The final girls' room of 2022.
Okay, ready? Let's try it. 1, 2, 3.
The girls' room. Okay, we kind of nailed it.
I don't know. You always sound like you're like a half a second behind me. But I don't know if that's just my headphones.
It might be.
Okay. So maybe we did nail it. Let's hope.
Well, again, you change up your inclination.
I know, I do.
Every single time.
I'm sorry. I'm still workshopping in my head what the girls' room jingle is going to be.
Okay, well, you got to let me know when you figure it out.
I will. All right. Let's talk about who was at the race. We had Sandy was there, Lil Miss Sandy, for her final appearance as an F1 wag. But the interesting part about Sandy this weekend, she was with Ferrari.
I know. What was going on?
Why? There? We're not sure. Nobody seems to know. It looked like she was with a friend who was, like, invited by Ferrari.
Who was that friend, though? Because those couple photos, did you see those couple photos they posted early in the week? It was her and Nikki and then her friend and her husband or boyfriend or whatever. And they looked like swingers photos. Like, it was very strange. It was very weird.
I did not see those.
I hated them. I hated every single thing about that photo shoot. It was weird. They were, like, on a swing at some point. They were near a beach.
They were telling us they were swingers.
Exactly. The vibes were weird on that photo set.
Everyone was in the DMs being like, Sandy's looking to try again with Carlos and Charles. So she was there. She was with Ferrari. Everything was weird about it. Elena was there. Looking great. Looking very Elena. Just very classic Elena outfits. Carmen was there, obviously. She and George were adorable, as always. They're still there on vacation afterwards. Went to a little gala or a season closing party, and she looked amazing in her off-the-shoulder dress / jumpsuit. I'm not really sure what it was. Charlotte was there. We weren't sure if Charlotte was going to be there for a little bit. She got there late, but she was there. She was with Charles' mom and his family. Did not eat cat food from what I could see while she was in Abu Dhabi. So that is good. Tiffany was there. Lily was there. Lily was rocking vintage Prada and absolutely nailing it all weekend.
She looked
great. She wore a tie one day. The one photo of her from the day that she wore like her all vintage Prada, I was like, you know what? She is the queen, and we are the sorry people. And
she
that and
so
can't
good.
Catch me in them little high heels.
She looked so good.
She looked so good. Oh, she's.
Ooh,
I can't wait for next year to see more from her.
Literally.
Louise, who's Kevin's wife, was there with their little baby Laura. Adorable.
Yep, so cute.
Kelly was there wearing her classic Kelly like matronly outfits, just like a white button down dress.
I want
every single
for her
time
in 2023. Although I will say, I don't know if you saw the photos recently of Kelly and Max with the bouquet.
With the bouquet of roses. I'm like, did he buy her roses for the end of his season?
I don't know, but they were
was
cute.
This in the
I'm
club?
Not even going to freaking lie about it.
Right, but I was like, where are these? Are they in the club? Because she was also at the club with him and Lando. I don't know. There's a
little,
lot of weird things happening.
Little Landy.
And then another girl was there. Kika. We called it.
We
called knew
it.
That Pierre was going to debut her at the last race of the season, was going to be her first race. And, you know, she really kind of showed up and showed out. She did a good job as her first race as an F1 wag.
I was impressed.
The little dress she wore on the first day, very cute, very fun, very flirty, very just like young girl. She's 19. So she looked like a nice 19.
She looked like she was 19.
She looked like she was 19. She was really killing it. The next day, I really liked her, like, teal outfit
that. Mm-hmm.
With the teal kind of longer shorts and the tied-up shirt. That was very cute. And then the last day, she wore a hot pink matching set, long skirt, and little crop top.
And one thing about you and I, we love a matching set, so we get it.
Love a matching set. So she was really doing it for us this weekend. We already talked about this a little bit, but where the fuck was Heidi?
Again, unsure.
Trouble in Paradise? Perhaps.
Which is crazy after all that time they spent together in New York. So,
which is crazy after all that time they spent together and the fact that he finally hard launched her. Like, was that the straw that broke the camel's back? And he was like, damn, I shouldn't have done that. We're over.
I'm not going to say we're on watch, but always on watch. So it's really hard to say. But I do find that it was suspicious that she was not there and basically all the other wags were. And the fact that it was maybe his last race.
I know. I'm intrigued.
I would have dropped everything. Reschedule
my entire
life.
And maybe she just
life.
Went back to the, like, I'm not going to be photographed kind of thing.
I don't know, but I think it's so hard because someone in the paddock usually, like, we would have seen something. Maybe not a professional photo, but I feel like she would have been in the background of something. Like, the Wags accounts would have picked up on that.
I know. So interesting. But, I mean, TBD. He's about to be on break, so we'll see if they're together. If we get some
Dumas
sightings.
If she goes home with him to Australia for Christmas.
Yeah. And it'll be on Dumois if they're
well, in New York. I won't read so.
Well, I'll be on watch for us.
Thank you.
And the last thing of WAGS that I want to talk about is that we did just get a photo of Louisa in a very, very beautiful Aston Martin green dress for the GQ Awards in Portugal. And so I just posted on our story, Louisa to Aston Martin 2023 confirmed. And now so many people are responding saying, you guys are too powerful to say that because now she's going to be dating Lance.
Well.
So honestly, I would love that. I would love this redemption arc for her. She's back at being an F1 WAG and with like the richest person in the world.
That's true, but significantly downgrading in terms of like coolness factor.
Yeah, but maybe, like we said, maybe Lance is not that bad because Mick likes him.
True.
And he's really rich. And so she would at least be able to use that over Lando. True. But look how good she looks.
She's been killing it. And we've said several times, Lando fumbled the bag.
But apparently he's also been liking her. Like, I know. Okay. Also, guys, here's a PSA. If you're going to just stop and think for a second before you DM us things, because I think approximately 4,000 of you responded to the post that we put up that said Lando fumbled bad when we reposted a photo of Louisa. 4,000 of you commented and said, or responded to us and said, Lando liked the photo. I know. Just think about it. Just think about it before you respond, because odds are I know. And you guys were just making me feel really bad about myself as if I didn't know. But
we do know. And we also have a theory that they're actually not broken up. So, right. But I don't think the people who send that listen to our podcast.
That's true.
I think that goes for a lot of people when they send us things.
Yeah.
I appreciate that you want me to see it. But again, 9 times out of 10, I've already seen it because I spend 97% of my day on Instagram.
Looking at only
Instagram, Formula One content. Twitter, TikTok. I'm only the news. I'm only consuming Formula One content. So thank you. But we got it.
Also, really quick, this has nothing to do with anything we've just been talking about, but Kimmy's son just got hats with his new logo on it, Ace 91, and it's so cute, and oh my God. I might buy one.
Stop.
I'm obsessed.
You cannot buy a children's hat.
I think I could.
You know what? You can do whatever you want.
You're right.
Sorry. I've scrolled down to the bottom of this. And what is the thing here that's just at the bottom that says, we did it, Gene? At the end of the agenda. We did it, Gene.
This is out of context from last week.
Oh.
I put at the bottom, I put episode title options. As we're talking, I can like jot things down if I think of a fun episode title. And or if anything funny happens, I write it down so that for our out of context.
Okay, I didn't realize that was from last week. I was like, we did what, Gene? All right, this episode has been far too long. We were just talking earlier about how we've been trying to keep it low-key. We simply cannot.
We can't ever. And especially this is our last one for a while.
I know.
So, sorry about it.
We just had a lot of things to say. We had a lot of things to discuss.
Maybe it'll get cut down in editing. Who knows?
Debatable.
So, without further ado, Nicole, what are you a fangirl of this week? Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
This week, I am just, in general, a fangirl of Sebastian Vettel.
That's fair.
I just feel like I am just overwhelmingly a fangirl of his, and I'm going to miss him so much. And I just feel very, very emotionally attached to Seb this week.
That's accurate. I'm trying to think.
I'm surprised. I feel like I know yours.
What is it?
Dermot Kennedy.
Oh my God, you're right. It's been this, I just feel like I've done so many things in the past couple of days that I just like can't remember. Yeah, absolutely obsessed with Dermot Kennedy. I mean, when am I not? But seeing him live on Friday at that acoustic show where he was just him and his fucking acoustic guitar in a silent room.
Huge
for me, because I have always wanted a full album of him just acoustic in an empty room. yes. like live. That's because he's one of those people who's better live
100%.
Than when he puts out music, because he's 100%. Just such a strong performer. Mm-hmm. So seeing him live in such an intimate setting was a once in a lifetime opportunity, considering his next show in New York is a sold out Madison Square Garden. So
right.
to be in a room with 400 other people and that's it, was really special. So, big Dermot girl. And if you haven't listened to his new album, highly recommend you checking it out, because it made me cry, as he's prone to do. So,
all right. I'm feeling a little emotional about this being our last show of 2022.
I know.
I mean, see you guys
in... We say that, but there's something could happen, and we could hop on the mic immediately decide.
You're right.
We're releasing an episode.
As of right now, we'll be back in 2023, but until then,
we will see you on the internet.
We'll see you on the internet. Bye.
Bye, guys.